Welcome back. Welcome to the FSB staff. We're here for a educational session on leases.
As Han said, this is an education session to prepare for the actual joint decision-making session tomorrow with the FASB. It's agenda paper 3A we're talking about. And the paper really addresses three sort of interrelated sweep issues that have arisen as we're going through the process of drafting the revised ED. So those three issues are kind of, so the first is that in the ED, the ED will actually require an entity to allocate consideration to each lease component of a contract. And we clearly have quite a lot of guidance on how to identify whether a contract contains a lease at all, you know, the definition of a lease. But where there isn't guidance is once you've identified that there is a lease, well, if via that lease the lessee actually obtains the right to use more than one asset, how do you determine whether it's just all one lease component that gets accounted for as one lease versus are there two or three leases embedded in that contract? And so in the paper, we're suggesting adding some guidance to help identify when there are separate lease components. What we're suggesting, it's in paragraph 11 of the paper, and it's very much similar to or based on some of what you've decided in the revenue recognition project when you're identifying separate performance obligations. The second issue is to say that once you've decided there is just one lease component, but if embedded within that lease, there are actually assets that are more of a property nature, land or buildings, and there's also assets that are more equipment. How do you actually decide whether that lease is a property lease or a lease of an asset other than property? And of course, that's important in terms of when you're classifying the leases. So again, we're suggesting including some guidance there that would be based on determining what you think the primary asset is. When you look at that lease component, what do you think the main reason for the lease is? What's the primary asset? And embedded in the discussion in the paper really about that primary asset is a kind of assumption or notion that when we talk about property, we mean it like it's defined in IS 40, which is that property is a land and or a building and doesn't extend beyond that. I'll come back to that later. The third issue in the paper is then saying, okay, well, having decided there's one lease component and that's a property lease, well, if that property sort of embeds both land and building elements, do we think that an entity should be required to subdivide that one lease component again into land and building pieces when you're actually classifying the lease? There is guidance in existing standards today in that area. We're suggesting we shouldn't include that going forward. That's sort of the paper. Now, before I hand over to you, I just wanted to highlight two other relevant discussions that have happened since we finalised the paper on this topic. The first is that the FASB had a similar education session to this last week, where two sort of questions or topics were raised. The first is in relation to the first issue in the paper, so in the context of working out whether there's one or more lease components. In paragraph 11 of the paper, or suggested wording in there, is more, it's sort of a leases version of what is in paragraph 28 of the revenue recognition ED. I mean, to understand what I'm saying here, if you want, you could turn to the very last page of that paper in Appendix B. So what we're proposing in that first piece of the paper is really kind of a leases version. Appendix A, not Appendix B. So we're sort of suggesting a leases version of what's in that Appendix A is paragraph 28 of RevRec ED. A couple of the FASB members just questioned. They said, well, in the context of revenue contracts, that paragraph 28 and paragraph 29 kind of work together. So, you know, is there maybe, if we're going to include an equivalent of 28, should we also just add a few more words that kind of reflects what's said in paragraph 29. Just to explain, in the context of when we were writing the paper, as staff, there was no deliberate reason we didn't include 29 or not. I think that when we drafted what we have in paragraph 11 of the paper, we thought that was sufficient in a sense in the context of leases. However, and thinking about that since, I think if the boards think that that would be helpful to add a few more words in that area, then I think we don't see any problems arising from that. The second issue that was raised at the FASB education session links into sort of the second issue, but more the definition of property, and more specifically telecommunications towers. I think one of the FASB members questioned why in the paper we were concluding that a telecom tower we deemed to be equipment as opposed to property or like property. And this board member sort of said that when he thought about a lease of space on a telecommunications tower, he really viewed that as kind of a lease of space. So like a land or a building, somebody's leasing office space or retail space, that if you're leasing a piece of a tower, that's like leasing space on a tower. And almost, I suppose, in a way you could say, is it kind of like leasing immovable space? And his view, he thought that the definition of property or what we are sort of our dividing line of property and other than property, we could potentially put things like towers that are leases of space and treat them in the same way as land or building. So that was just a suggestion that came up at the education session. Linked to that second issue, the definition of property.
Sorry, in such a lease, does the company that leases part of that telecom, does he put his equipment there? Or?
Usually the lessor just owns the tower, the infrastructure, and the lessee will bring his equipment and attach it on to the piece of the tower. And so linked to your question is that the FASB member that raised this said, he said, well, look, when I think about, say, if the telecommunications company decided to lease a bit of space on top of a building and add his equipment there, we consider it a property lease, whereas if he's leasing that piece of the tower and he adds his equipment, we're saying it's something different. So linked to property and actually telecommunications towers, once again, the popular assets, the Interpretations Committee actually had a conversation last week as well, specifically about telecommunications towers and whether they meet the definition of property as it's used in the context of the scope of IS 40. And this issue sort of has arisen and come into IFRIC more because this is sort of an expanding area, I think, of investment. So some REITs and other investment entities are no longer just, say, investing in real estate, sort of traditional land and buildings. They're also expanding into the area of investing in towers as well. And of course, the question was asked of the committee, could you consider a tower to meet the definition of building? I think when the committee have talked about it, they do think it's a bit of a stretch to think of a tower as being a building, because whilst a building isn't defined in IFRS, if you look up any definitions anywhere, it mostly assumes that there are walls and a roof, and a tower obviously generally doesn't have walls and a roof. So I think they felt it was a bit of a stretch of property to fit a tower in there. However, I think they were quite sympathetic to thinking about whether is there a way of expanding the scope of IS 40 to capture things like towers, but of course within the remit of not changing the objective of IS 40. Where they got to last week was we came along and updated them on where we are in leases, and I think they felt at this point they didn't want to move any further forward on that, and they decided to wait on what the boards would be doing on leases. And then we'll feed back to them. I think there's just two things that maybe they mentioned in that discussion. I suppose one was is they felt that if we are going to use the same term, so as IS 40, so we use property in IS 40 to mean land and or a building. If we're going to use property, then we should define it in the same way, which is what we've done so far. That's why we've used property, because we are defining it in the same way. However, they did say it's probably worth thinking about whether the objectives of IS 40 and the objectives of what we've got on leases are the same. So there's not necessarily a reason to stick exactly to the same word and the same definition. We, if we go somewhere different, we of course could, but then use a term that's not property. So with that, I've said quite a lot. Just before, I will just add, because I've summed up what happened at the FASB education session and IFRIC, I will just ask Wayne or Michael, and also the FSB staff, if I've missed anything in my tee-up that might be worth communicating to the board?
I think from the point of view of the discussion of the Interpretations Committee, you've summed it up very quickly. You know, the committee have been looking at assets like telecom towers where the business model is one that is effectively the same as an investment property. You're not renting out space. And so they're looking to see, well, should IAS 40 accounting model be applied to those sorts of assets? And as Petrina pointed out, if you look solely at the description or definition of property or the way it's described, then that's a difficult to fit it in those. And I guess a question that did come up from the Interpretations Committee would be that depending on where the leases project gets to, is it important for leasing and IS 40 to have the same principle? So that's something that they're perhaps thinking about and looking to see how discussions within the leases project develop.
Yeah, I think the key was that regardless of what term we use, if we wind up with something being characterized as an equipment lease in the leasing standard, it will be, at a minimum, a little discordant for us to then bring to you a recommendation to amend 40 to say that things like telecommunications towers should be considered part of property. They seem to be, at least on the surface, contradicting one another and arguing that you have different objectives and therefore different standards characterize the same thing differently is a little bit hard to put together. So that's why the committee said, hey, let's just wait and see what the board's come up with at least.
Colin, Danielle, is there anything I missed?
Okay, I open the floor.
I just would like to maybe comment on the telecom towers. I'm seeing a growing number of telecommunication companies actually selling and leasing back spaces in their towers in a process that is very common, I guess, in Brazil, Korea as well. And I'm following the discussion not only in the Interpretation Committee, but also in the Emerging Economies Group that has been discussing this, has this as one of the main topics of the meetings, of a meeting last year in May. And this is a consideration that many are assessing that they might be better suited to an accounting that is aligned with property and not equipment.
Isn't the main question here if there is a consumption of the underlying asset? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah,
rather than is this property or not?
Yeah, I mean, going back to, I think it's important, you know, the Interpretations Committee talked about the objective, and of course, our objective in leases, when we're talking about classifying leases, is trying to get at that consumption principle. So when do we think the lessee is consuming more than an insignificant, you know, part of the underlying asset? The just tension around property or not, of course, is the boards have decided for, you know, cost-benefit reasons, for practicality reasons, to make that a bit simpler to work out than just the principle, and have added on a kind of a starting point. It's not that every property lease and every equipment lease goes the other way, but at least to make it simpler, the starting point is that you have assumptions about what property and non-property are.
I'd like to go to question one. And I like to test my understanding of the staff proposal on the basis of example 4 at the top of page 6. You have a contract which covers two components, and we recommend that they be separated. But if both components are type 2, conclude they are both type 2, that two pieces of land, they are both type 2, what is the practical effect of separating those two leases? Because the period of the lease will be the same. It's one contract, two elements, lease for the same period of time. You conclude both elements are type 2. So what do you do then in terms of presentation and disclosures? Because the measurement, of course, will not be impacted by that separation. So Is there anything that results from this separation? Or can we say, when looking at the components, you conclude they are the same nature, type 1 or type 2, then you can keep them combined for presentation and disclosures?
I think we could certainly do that. So I think that that example you've picked up, Philippe, example for you, you're absolutely right, because I think there, if you include those two components, they're both property leases. One is a lease of land only, the other's kind of, you know, a lease of land and buildings. The only reason, if there was a reason to keep them separate, would be if somehow in disclosures in terms of, you know, the classes of underlying asset, if that lessee separated out, you know, land only from land and buildings. That might be the only reason to account for it separately.
We will call it a right of use. We will not call it land or building. We'll say it's a right of use. So, that means we have to split the right of use into sub-rights, and this is the right of use of a land and building separately in the amount of right of use on the balance sheet, or do we want to do that or not?
It's just our requirements in presentation are, I mean, you can either present right of use assets separately as their standalone, or you can present right of use assets within your PP&E category. So if within your PP&E categories you separate land from land.
But we're not going to require something more.
That's what Steph would like to get in, I understand. Or has the question been answered?
Yeah. I wanted to add one point, Hans, which is I do think that this example four demonstrates that by having two components, you actually could have different recognition and measurement. And so, for example, let's say that the lease of the retail building was for 50 years, and let's say that was most of its economic life. You would not, although you'd conclude it's property, you would not have a straight line pattern in the income statement. You would have interest and amortization. But the land, on the other hand, of course, typically would be straight line.
Okay.
So I just wanted to demonstrate that there actually is a purpose in this example of having two components, which is the expense pattern would be different for the building because that would be more akin to purchasing the building, and then the land would be straight line because it's just paying for use over whatever the lease term is.
I agree with that. I just said in my tee-up that if you conclude that both are type 2, which means you don't have this consumption pattern for one of the elements.
Yeah, you said that.
Yeah. Any other comments? Questions? Rego?
Firstly, you know, I would suggest, I'm not sure the when and the Michael's view, you know, to not touch at all the TV tower. Or use examples. The conclusion of the example, I also feel confused, you know. Why you conclude, you know, TV tower or space as equipment. But if you want to conclude anything or using any examples and will create confusing the possible discussion within IFRIC about the Indonesia issues or from Brazil or from Korea about TV tower. So this is my suggestion. And secondly, here you have many examples, and there are many overlap between issue one and issue two. And if we want to finally take some of the example into illustrate examples, we have to carefully select some of them. And I have some issues relate to question one and question two. Question one is, you know, during the discussion, some of the constituencies, like the gentleman from South Africa, Kevin, raised several times about the componentization issue. So my question to you is, what's the relationship between the proposal here and the componentization concern from some of our constituency? And this is one. My second question, the example about the office space you used twice in the paper, and you lease, let's assume, 100 square meters for 5 years, and then extend to 1,000 square meters, 2,000 square meters, and you said there are two lease, you know. And if, you know,
at second stage, that is, you lease 2,000 square meters at all and negotiate together at second stage, is it necessary to call them two lease? They already become one lease at second stage. You understand? And this is my second question. And my third one is, I agree with the some suggestion, that is the proposal to keep the guidance at 11. And I also feel not enough. You see, in the revenue standards, we have some other paragraph. But I have no ideas how should we do. If we cooperate together, it seems too much, you know. But I really feel not enough. And this is the questions and the comments related to first issue. Do you answer first? And I have some questions on the third one.
So the first one I think you asked about was componentization and how that's been raised sometimes, because obviously within IS16, if assets are bought, then there is kind of a requirement. And I think Kevin, who's from the mining industry, would say that particularly in the kind of mining world, that's where in practice they will look at IS16 and they will componentize assets that they buy. Also, my understanding is that if they lease assets today under finance leases, because the asset the lessee recognizes kind of filters through IS16, there can be componentization of assets that are under finance leases. And a question was raised before as to whether that will continue to be, you know, allowed under standards. And I think it is. I think in our drafting, we intend that to continue to be, you know, at least a possibility where it makes sense. I think that it could happen in two ways. One is if the boards decide to, you know, to agree to include some guidance on separating lease components like we have here, there is a possibility that, you know, that there could be some, you could deem that, I don't know, that you're leasing the engine of an airplane separately from the shell of an airplane. I'm not saying that's the answer, but, you know, there's a possibility that componentization could happen via this. If not, in our drafting, we do intend to kind of refer, when we talk about amortizing the right of use asset, we have a cross-reference across to IS16 in terms of how that works. So we think that even if you deem there's one lease component, you could still end up getting a similar sort of componentized amortization as you would if you owned an asset.
Space example.
Your second question. So the last example in the paper, example 9 in the paper, I think our conclusion here was, because this fact pattern is kind of saying that, yes, first of all, you're leasing 15,000 square feet, and that expands to become a bigger portion in the second 5 years. I think we felt that was still, there are two different identified assets there, one for 15,000 square feet and another for the extra 10,000 square feet. And if you look at it in terms of that first 15,000 square feet, well, when the lessee enters into that contract at the start, he has actually entered into a 10-year contract of that space. It's not that he's only entered into a 5-year contract and then he's negotiating and entering into a new contract after 5 years for the bigger space. So we kind of thought he has entered into a 10-year lease of the 15,000 square feet.
There are two scenarios. One scenario is you will lease, you know, extend the previous leasehold into another 5 years. Mm-hmm. Separately, you also lease another 10 square meters. And such kind of conditions, there are two leases separately. Alternatively, ISB negotiate the other side to extend another floor and form a new lease. How can you say that there are two leases? You understand?
But in that second in the second example, the lease is modified. The existing lease is modified. So it's a brand new lease. I think we have enough in the literature to support that if the lease is modified, then it is deemed as a new lease. So you...
Yes, this is what I say.
I don't think they're contradicting there, Vigo.
No. But the question is, you know, you have to carefully design the examples.
Okay.
You know, my second examples, you can say that
plan use. This is what I want to say, you see. So it depends on the scenarios you should be carefully designed, you know. Can I go further to the third issue? And I feel very, very, you know, uncomfortable about the third issue. The reason is, you know, it looks like we want to get some result, then try to find a justification. So why we want to have this result? And this is why, you know, PK and I will dissent at all. But particularly on some of the proposal from your side. And you propose two ways. One way is you mainly propose not allocate, but you recommend to use remaining life, which you admit different from the equipment lease. In that case, you propose and we decide to use whole life. And particularly in the documents, you use the real car as an example. And my question is, first, why you want, in this case, propose remaining life? And secondly, is it necessary for us to create another inconsistencies for ourselves? This is one. Alternatively, you say, all can decide to allocate, but you also recommend to use current U.S. GAAPs, you know, how to calculate the fair value of the land. And particularly, you said fair value multiplied by the
incremental borrowing rate.
Incremental borrowing rate. You know, first one, I said, why we need to do so? Because we set international standards. And secondly, what the result means, I not fully understand. You know, because current U.S. requirement is applicable the current lease standards. But you propose, we have new standards, and you propose to use the current U.S. requirement and take into consideration, integrate into our standard and not fully understand. Firstly, why we want to do so and what that clause means.
I mean, I'll answer. I don't know if anybody else is a talker. I'll try and respond to you. I mean, first of all, and I appreciate that the recommendation section of the last issue is not necessarily straightforward. The first paragraph tells you our recommendation, and that is our recommendation. But we wanted to give you, if you decided you couldn't go there, we wanted to give you almost what we thought was our next best if you had some concerns around the edges. But just to pick up on your last point, Wego, if we're saying, if you decide to disagree with our recommendation and you think there's good reasons to require the separation of land and building elements when classifying, all that suggestion about using that sort of what is almost a shortcut permitted in US GAAP is simply a way of, the requirement in the section would be what's in IS 17 today. You know, it's really saying that, because this is really saying that when you're classifying, you would have to try and separate your overall lease payments into the lease payments relating to the land element and the lease payments relating to the building element. And you would be told to do that based on the relative fair values of the kind of right of use assets that relate to the land and building. That can be quite a complicated exercise. And my understanding from speaking to what happens in practice in IFRS today is that people opt to get at those amounts under IFRS. They often use as a practical way of doing that. People in practice often take the fair value of the land and multiply it by the lessee's incremental borrowing rate. So it's already used as a proxy today to get at what's in IAS 17. So we just thought if you decide to keep this requirement to split, it would make sense to make it slightly less onerous and allow that kind of practical way to try and get at, you know, the amount of the lease payments that relate to the land. At least that would simplify it slightly rather than forcing people to try and work out property yield or something on that.
Can I just say something?
PK?
I did a stupid thing of resetting my iPad and so it's unblocked. So I'm just speaking from memory, so apologies if I don't speak to the point. You have a real dilemma here, and I appreciate your dilemma. One is that if you go down the route that you have done about not separating by using as a one unit, you are stuck with land and building as one unit. Okay? On the other hand, you have this condition you're modifying to make it remaining. Okay? which I think Vegu correctly says that you are bringing another layer of complexity into the standard, because for equipment you don't use remaining, and for the property you use remaining. So that doesn't make any sense, but I see your conflict with the componentization issue. Now, but I think I would think stick with land and building separation would be the most elegant way to do this, rather than changing the language to put the remaining. And I would just do the land and building. And I think your problem about if I have 100 floors and I rent floor number 99, is there a land component to it? I think if you use the 25% rule, granted, I use the word rule very deliberately, you're out of it. You don't need to think about separating between the land and the building, because it's 1/100th of the land, so that is below the 25% rule.
So sorry, PK, just to understand that you would suggest that if we do require it, we build in some of those sort of specific exclusions in US GAAP that says you don't have to do the separation if the land's less than 25%.
Something like that. I would not, maybe we will not use the word 25%, but we will use something which is existing under IA 17 to get there. But I think otherwise you are going to put too many leases in the type 1 or type 2. If you do this the way you're proposing, I think that would unnecessarily give a lot of complexity. Despite the fact I'm dissenting, I'm trying to be constructive, yeah. So just so you know.
I mean, just based on your comment on Waco, if it makes a difference, I mean, regarding, I think you quite rightly, it's your view that you would suggest that if you do what we recommend in the last area and we say in the context of classifying property leases, you're looking at, you know, whether the lease is for a major part of the remaining economic life. If we say if you're classifying equipment leases, you're looking at whether it's an insignificant part of the total economic life. And in your view, that creates more complexity. I suppose for me personally, I didn't think it creates any more complexity, because the tests work in a different way anyway. One is talking about a major part of the remaining economic life, in this case, according to a recommendation. The other is looking at whether it's, you know, more than an insignificant part of the total economic life. So to me, they are, you know, the criterion, they work in a different way in any event. This is not, in my view, adding in more complexity, but I can understand why you could have a different view on that.
Virginia, as PK said, you know, we create inconsistency by ourselves, and then we keep that inconsistency, but people will say it, what's the justification? You know, for equipment, intentionally said, you know, even though you have remaining life shorter, but we will require you use whole life. But for building, for property, we require you to use remaining life. People say, what's the justification behind that?
And the basis will explain it.
Okay, we'll wait for the basis. Any other questions?
Well, my another point about whether we should use current American GAAP requirement or not. I don't think it's necessary, you know.
Any other comments?
No, it's fine.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Upgrading your iOS.
Thank you. So I wanted to get the FaceTime, and FaceTime comes to make sure that you suddenly start making it, so please I think it.
Relax.
3 days. It says 28 minutes more. It's already 30 minutes.
Here's our regular papers. It's good you're sitting next to a dinosaur.
Yeah, I am.
It's not cool.
We're done with the revenue.
Getting there. I'm not off the board.